All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. March 21st, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Back to work today. Off yesterday. Got to go out into the ocean, do some ocean paddling. So grateful I'm part of that club. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what I'd be doing. Just really, really cool. Had a great day out on the water. Paddled with six guys. It was just awesome. Down the canal. Actually did a little different route yesterday. Headed towards the south instead of the north. It was very windy, and so that was a concern. But, man, we did it. Had a great day. Just so grateful. My God. It is such a workout, and I really don't, at this age or point in my life, I just don't feel like I could work out like that by myself. So just grateful to be part of that. But yeah, back to work. I thought I would see if we could do a podcast. Struggling a bit. Tried to do this a couple times this morning. I've been, you know, I have not been feeling good. You could probably hear it. I'm struggling a little bit with my breath. And I don't mean the smell of it. I just mean getting it. And finally had to go see a doctor on Tuesday. Somebody had sent me a message saying, "You're sick. You should go to the doctor." And they're right. I guess I don't feel that sick. In fact, I don't feel sick at all. In fact, I feel fantastic. I just can't catch my breath. So I think it's from COVID. I talked to some people the other day. Some other people I know that had COVID have had some things that have been lingering as well from their experience with COVID. So I made an appointment to go see the doctor, and that was on Tuesday night after work. And she did a chest x-ray, and she did took an EKG, and everything was fine, which, you know, of course. But she did put me on some medication, put me on an antibiotic, and she put me on some steroids, and which is funny because it reminds me, prednisone, right? It reminds me of when my mom was sick before she died, and she was on prednisone, and my dad just hurt his hip. Well, I have to, you know, so this is funny. You know, I said on the podcast that my dad had made a mistake, right? He said, you know, after you can put heat on, and then when you injure yourself, and then everything after that has to be cold. And so I'm like, you know, I'm sharing that in the podcast. I listened to it the other day. And then I talked to my dad, and he goes, no, it's the opposite. You can put ice on it, a cold or heat on it, and then everything else has to be ice. And I thought, that doesn't really make sense, but the reality is I don't feel like arguing with him. And so I said, okay, so don't listen to me. I'm not a doctor. I'm an idiot. So if you hurt yourself, it would make sense to me. And it seems like in my life, it always, if you get hurt, especially if we have kids, let me get an ice pack. It's always ice packs, right? And then if it continues, you put heat on it. But for some reason, he feels like the doctor told him it was the opposite. And I was like, it's cool, Dad. I don't feel like getting into it with you. And so, like I said, if you hurt yourself, go to the doctor. Don't listen to me. Not that you would, but I'd probably give bad advice when it comes to that. Put an ice pack on it, right? But, yeah, it's just, you know, gave me some medicine, and hopefully I can start clearing it up. Like I said, I feel fine. Paddled yesterday. We did almost 8 miles. Paddled on Saturday. Did 8 miles. Paddled the week before. I think we did 8 miles. So my cardio's fine. I have endurance. Like yesterday we were freaking killing it. And I bought that new camera, that Action 360. I think what I'm learning is there's a couple Action 360 cameras. There's one that kind of goes on a stick that gives you this round 360 degree view. And then there's one that looks sort of like a GoPro. And that's what I bought, the one that looks like a GoPro, because it has this little camera mounted inside of it that you can take out and put on these little, it's like a clip I had on my life preserver, and the little camera clicks into it. And so got some great, great videos of that. That was a lot of fun. Put some music to it and posted that on. I do have an I'm Sorry About Last Night Facebook page, and I put it on there if anybody wants to look at it. It's not a big deal, but if you want to see what it is that I am talking about, this paddling. But, yeah, just grateful for that. Yeah, living the best life, but my lungs are not cooperating right now, and it's starting to get a little bit frustrating. Days of the Nude, Dirty Road. I love that band. That band is so good. You know, it's funny, the singer of that band was on Intervention. Remember the show Intervention? And he was a big meth head, big into meth, almost brought down his whole career. I think he's doing all right. I haven't heard any new music from them. I haven't looked into it, but I do remember he was on Intervention. And, you know, I was in that path. I'd been on the meth, right? And whew, that's a tough monkey to kick, man. That is one tough monkey to kick. And so hopefully he's doing okay. But that's a great song. But, yeah, so lots going on. Just trying to manage it. Went to a meeting last night. Really good meeting. Went to a meeting on Monday. I am, you know, Monday, I don't know if I've even done a podcast since Monday, but trying to pick and choose, make some changes, right? Getting a little stagnant in my recovery as far as the meetings I go to. And I, you know, I used to always say I want to be there, you know, in case I try to do it routinely so that in case a newcomer does want to maybe approach or ask me to sponsor or temporary sponsor or just questions, you know, people know where I'm at. Right? Not that I'm that important, but there is nothing worse than when you find somebody that you think has some good recovery and you want to talk to them and then they just sort of disappear. And so I just try to, you know, plus I just need a meeting, right? I just like to go and be part of the group, but it is starting to get a little stagnant. I'm having to make some adjustments. You know, everybody's journey is different. Seems like I was going to a money meeting, just not a lot of great recovery. No, because then if you share, it just feels like you or me seems like they just know everything, right? It's like, I just want to be around people trying to do the same thing. And that is, you know, someone working the steps, working with others, sponsoring. But to me, the main one is the steps. The steps are freaking the key to recovery, right? The big book is important. Going to meetings is important. Obviously, not drinking is number one importance, but the steps are the key. And it just doesn't feel like a lot of people are working the steps. And if they are, well, I just don't think they are because they just, you can hear it in a person's recovery. If someone's sharing or leading a meeting or whatever it is, you can hear it. I mean, I can hear it a mile away. How far somebody has probably even worked these steps, because if you've worked them, you talk about them. And if you haven't, you don't. And there was a guy that spoke last night at a meeting, and he's a great guy. And he's got a lot of time. And he spoke so long that the chair had to cut him off, right? And he probably spent 30 seconds on the steps, right? It was all drunkologue. And I think it is... I don't want to say it's important to do a drunkologue. I think we all are familiar with our drunkologues. You know, I don't need 30 minutes of drunkologue to find that somebody relates or, you know, deserves to be here. I mean, the only requirement is a desire to stop drinking, right? And so I like to hear about the solution. And I was telling my sponsor wasn't there, and his sponsor asked me, where's your sponsor? And I go, I don't know, where's your sponsee? You should probably be worried more about that than me. And we laughed, but I called my sponsor last night, and I was like, he's like, that was a meeting. And I was like, you know, it was fine. I go, I just feel like no one's talking about the steps. And, you know, he was like, I agree. You know, it's, and I said to him, you know, I go, one of the biggest things for me is that I think a lot of people are working steps in their life, especially like the third step. The third step to me, you know, for, you know, the first three steps, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding. Those three steps are the foundation, right? Those are the foundation, but they're worded in a way that can trick me or can be tricky, right? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Their lives had become unmanageable. Well, you know, of course my life was unmanageable. Like I had stitches and crashed cars. But the problem is that someone had to take me to the hospital, right? Someone had to pay for my car to get fixed. Someone had to answer that phone, right? My life had become unmanageable to everybody else. But as a self-centered person, really, and that was the thing about the guy's share last night. It was all about, you know, the alcohol, right? And I had to, you know, I shared. I'm like, man, damn alcohol, right? Sounds like it's the alcohol's fault. It isn't the alcohol's fault, right? It's not the alcohol's fault. It's not the people that you drank with's fault. It's not the car that you crashed into's fault. It's none of their fault. It's our own fault. It's the lack of accountability. And that's what I came in. And that's what a self-centered person is, a person that has zero accountability. It's everybody else's fault. If you want to see it, you know, talk to a 10, 11, 12-year-old, right? They are completely self-centered, as they should be, right? I'd be freaked out if some little 10-year-old was humble. Hey, man. You know, I'd be like, what's up with this kid, right? But we're all self-centered. We start off like that. We evolve, right? We ripen. The great avocado, right? We ripen over time. But the problem is when I picked up the drink and the drug, that natural progression of maturation stops. And so I came in this program as a self-centered 12, 13, 14-year-old kid, right? And that turns out to be the real problem. But it's just, you know, people blaming it on the alcohol. And it's just, you know, like I told my sponsor, I go, you know, the big thing for me is that I think a lot of people coming into the program do start working some of these steps and just don't realize it and start practicing them in their lives and don't realize it. And so we admitted, right, and then came to believe, that one always throws everybody off because it has, you know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That seems like there's some sort of relationship building with some sort of higher power. It's a little weird, right? It's a little off. But I think the fact that we're considering it, right? The fact that we are here, right? I think is a couple steps in that direction, right? But the third step to me is the one that really, I think, early recovery, a lot of people practice and don't really realize it because just how it's worded. Turned our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding. And I think people hear the word God and they're like, oh shit, I don't know about that, right? And because I think a lot of people have the same problem I have. Right, we've searched for these relationships with a God, and it always just falls short, and we give up. Right, and then, you know, our bad behavior, you know, the evidence or people, the word from people is, you act like that, you're going to hell, and so then we just really give up. And so, when there's God in it, I think it throws us for a loop. But the reality is, it's, you know, just making better choices, and seeing the results in our lives. Right. I you know, talking to my sponsor, he is a great example of that, right? He moved down here, big drunk driver, just like I was, right? Always getting caught, came down to this area to try to start his life over, and he made a decision, right? He's like, I'm coming to a new area. Nobody knows me, have no driver's license. I could probably drive and get away with it, but I'm not going to, right? I'm not going to drive, and he got people to give him rides, and that is the third step in its finest form. Making better choices, and it turns out reflecting in our lifestyles, right? And so due to the fact that he made that decision, he never got caught, right, driving. He was able to get his license back and able to get his life back in order. But, you know, I think a lot of people, especially early, right, when we're still embarrassed and ashamed and on that pink cloud, we start making better decisions. And, you know, the first one is you go to a meeting, right? Just going to a meeting is a proper decision. Right. If you're going to a meeting, you have some humility because there's the option of not going. And I've been on both sides. So, you know, we just need to, you know, just because we talk about the steps doesn't mean that we have to pound them into people. But we can also share that how these steps may be working in our lives already. And it's a huge task. But, you know, the steps are the solution. There was a guy last night who was like, clearly under a year. I don't know how much time this guy has. No sponsor, right? And he's like, you know, it takes more than the steps. You need an ID, IPD. I don't know what he said. You need something in addition to the steps to get sober. And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Right? And so, but he was like, you know, I've got to get rid of my friends. I've got to change these jobs, you know, and I shared and I go, you know, this is like the same conversation I have with my 12-year-old. Right, my son has been getting in a world of trouble, just doing silly shit that seventh graders do, or at least he does. I shouldn't say that every seventh grader. It's what I did, right? Trying to figure out how to fit in, right? Trying to be a little different. a little funnier, right? A little edgy. And teachers aren't putting up with it. But, you know, he was like, I'm getting rid of all my friends. And that's what this guy was saying in the meeting. You got to get rid of all your friends. You got to get rid of the job. You know, if it's a job that makes you feel like drinking, you got to get rid of it. And my answer is like, you're going to have that all your life, right? I'm always going to know people that are like, you want to go have, I don't today, right? I've pretty much, you know, it's pretty clear where I'm at today. But early on, you know, I still had friends wanting to go to the bar. Why don't we just go to the bar, have seltzer? Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's stay out late. You know, always, you're always going to have people in your life that are a bad influence. And, you know, that's where we have to like use the third step, right? We have to make that choice. Is this going to be beneficial to my sobriety, right? Is this going to be beneficial to my spirituality? And just that choice of yes or no, usually it would be, it is not going to be helpful, right? Is a humble decision, right? Because self's like, let's go have fun. Who cares if we're sober? Let's still go have fun. That's how we end up, you know, doing stupid shit. And, you know, but these are, it's called being accountable. You know, and my son at 12 is not accountable. And, you know, and his idea is that he's going to remove all of the reasons why he behaves badly, which is his friends, right? And I said, you still have got to be the guy that calls the last shot, Sam. You know, the final word is with you. And whether it's now or in 5 years and 10 years, you're still going to have these moments that come up where you're going to have to put your foot down and say, this isn't going to work out well for me. Right? Think the drink through, right? And that's after the meeting, I grabbed that guy and I go, dude, you just got to relax, man. Just, you know, I said something else last night and I don't know if people agree, don't agree, but I'm like, if you're in your first year, I wouldn't even fuck with the steps, right? I wouldn't even mess with them. We're so twisted, right? I say my advice to anybody in their first year is just go to a meeting every day. You know, they say do a 90-90. I'd do 365 days in 365 days if you can. Because it isn't about, you know, I did 365 days in a row, right? It's 365 opportunities for you to be around men and women that are trying to be sober, right? Men and women who are examples of what it's like to live a life of a sober person, right? I learned so much in that 15 minutes before the meeting. I learned so much in that 15 minutes after the meeting. You know, the shoulders of the meeting are really where there's a lot to learn. When I went to the meeting last night, group of guys sitting out on a picnic table in front of the meeting, chatting, catching up, right? Having conversations about normal stuff. These are all things that I needed to learn. And so if you're in your first year, I wouldn't even worry about the steps. We won't understand them anyway, right? And when you think you do, you won't. And when you look back at it years later, you'll be like, I can't believe it, right? So I wouldn't even pressure yourself with the steps. Don't drink. And go to a lot of meetings, right? Check in with your sponsor. And the other thing is, I really don't think if you have less than a year, you have anything to share. In fact, I am going to say, you don't have anything to share. Go to a meeting. If you're called on, you say, hey, my name is so-and-so. I'm an alcoholic. That's all I got. That's all you really have. Because the guy last night sharing, all you could hear is that this guy clearly doesn't have a sponsor. And he's not working any program. He's overworking it, right? He's got the notepad. He's probably got a court date, more than likely, right? So I am not, do what you do just as long as you get to a meeting. But if you're worried and concerned that you're not working the steps or doing them correctly or you don't understand, don't do them, right? If you're in your first year, don't even worry about them. But when you're done with your first year, right, it's time to start taking a look at these things. And by this time, if you have... You know, usually when I had my first year, I celebrated. I got a coin. I had to sit up front. Somebody made me a cake. I walked through the fire, right, and came out on the other side. And then my sponsor's, all right, we're going to start working on the steps. And we sat down, and we would work on the first step, right, and just start working through them. By then, your head should be clear enough, right? You should be in a position where you're starting to understand. The cobwebs are starting to clear out a little bit, right? The demon has left. He's probably knocked a couple times, but he sort of feels like, I think this guy's going to do this for a while. And you hopefully have a little free time and you can start really addressing him. But take your time. It's a lifetime. And just when you think you have it, something changes in our lives or in our spirit or in a relationship with a higher power or something, and some more stuff is revealed, and what you thought was, you know, concrete turns out not to be, and it's just constantly evolving, right? And it's awesome, right? So don't get too stressed out about it. You know, there's no, you know, just because you're working the steps early doesn't mean you're better, right? It probably means you're worse, right? It needed to relax, and there's so much to learn. So, but that was a meeting that I went to last night. It was fine. I did share, but, you know, and I told the guy after the meeting, I go, we need to talk about the steps more, right? The steps are the key. We all know how to drink. We've all drank. We've all crashed cars. We've lost everything. We know that story. Start talking about how these steps are working in your life, and I think it'll be helpful. But what do I know? All right, let me see. Maybe we can do a little reading. Are you under a year? Are you working the steps? I mean, I always think it's funny. You see people going to rehab, 30-day rehabs, and they do the steps in the rehab. I guess it's good to maybe just read them or get an idea of them. But to seriously think that we are capable, it's like being, getting a new job and expecting to be a manager. Learn the job, right? Take the time. All right, here we go. Material and spiritual well-being, March 21st. Fear of economic insecurity will leave us. No, just kidding. That's funny. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 84. So it's fear of economic insecurity will leave us. Alcohol AA, page 84. Having fear reduced or eliminated and having economic circumstances improve are two different things. When I was in AA, I had those two ideas confused. I thought fear would leave me only when I started making money. However, another line from the big book jumped off the page one day when I was chewing on my financial difficulties. For us, material well-being always followed spiritual progress. It never preceded. I suddenly understood that this promise was a guarantee. I saw that it would put priorities in the correct order, that spiritual progress would diminish that terrible fear of being destitute, just as it diminished many other fears. Today, I try to use the talents God gave me to benefit others. I found that is what others valued all along. I try to remember that I no longer work for myself. I only get the use of wealth God created. I never have owned it. My life's purpose is much clearer when I just work to help, not to possess. Yeah, I don't understand. I shared that we sold that house and we got some money from it, and it's brought up a lot of emotions, and I went right to I took that check right to the bank, right? I didn't even want to have any of it, but it's in the bank. But it's still, I'm thinking about it, right? You know, it's all about trying to retire one day, but money is weird, right? I don't understand it because, money's strange. For a lot of fear when it comes with money. And like I've said, I've never even really struggled in life. I've had tough times, but I've never been homeless and I've never slept under a bridge. So, it's weird. But I do know that, you know, what I've learned, and I said this last night because somebody was talking about anxiety and stress, and I said those are, to me, just two more words for fear, right? And fear, I can get off the reservation a bit, right, and go down the road of fear and kind of create these scenarios that would be scary if they did happen to me. But typically that doesn't happen to me, right? And that's sort of just self kind of running a riot. And what I know today is that, you know, as long as I don't drink, right, I can do anything I want. My buddy Matt used to say that to me all the time. Pick up a drink, all bets are off. Don't pick up a drink, you can do anything you want, right? Look at JFK Jr., an addict, right? I love that guy, man. Check him out. He's so freaking such a good guy. But he was an addict, right? He was a heroin addict, got arrested, found a program, got sober, and now I was running for president. And that's exactly what Matt used to say. He used to tell me, he goes, you don't pick up a drink and you can do anything you want. Put your mind to it and you can do it. Put a drink in your mouth and all bets are off. So that's my first thing that I need to do on a daily basis is not drink, right? And show up, right? And take care of business. At the end of the day, if I do those things, I should have no fear. I should have no financial insecurity. I think the financial insecurity that I have, I make up, right? I think I make it up, and then I think I beat myself up on it. And it's just, you know, it's self-loathing, I guess, self-something, but it is a major character defect. And because I know I'm perfectly safe, right? You know, we don't. The nice thing is the money. Any of the money we made on that house, we were able to put into a bank account. Like I didn't even have to pay off anything, right? I don't even have any debt. We don't have any credit card debt. I have a car loan, obviously. We have no debt. We couldn't be in a better position, right? And that's because we minimize the stuff that we have, right? We minimize our financial burden. And for that, you know, but I can easily go buy something and change that, which I do not want to do. But self sometimes like, let's buy something. Let's get something, right? And I don't even need anything. So, but, you know, get up every day, don't drink, go to a meeting, work with another alcoholic, try to be on your best behavior, right? If you're not, use the 10 step to try to clean it up. Try to figure out, continue to take our personal inventory. What was that about? What caused it? So it doesn't happen again. You know, it's one thing to make a mistake. It's another thing to make a mistake over and over and think you can just keep apologizing. Maybe we need to take a little harder look at it. You know, like I said in the other podcast, man, this is a life journey. And if I'm going to make a life journey, I want my vehicle to be in its best shape, right? And so that's what these steps allow. But if as long as I don't pick up a drink, I can do whatever I want. And I have to remember that. And when I do remember that, I'm not afraid. And that's what's most important to me. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll talk later. Bye. Supposed to get better than this. Yes, I will find